You've all heard of John the Baptist, right? Raise your hand if you've never heard of John the Baptist. I went to a Baptist seminary, and one of my professors used to always call him John the Immerser, because the Greek word bautizo has the idea of immersing in water. So he would call him John the Immerser, and it was a Baptist seminary, so they're like, yeah, that's the only way. And we've talked before about sprinkling and pouring and dunking, and this sermon isn't about that or about John the Immerser in that context, but it is about John, who was an outsider. He didn't come from the house of the emperor. He didn't come from the house of the governor or any governmental leader. He was Zechariah and Elizabeth's child. And he had a priestly lineage, you know, dating back to Old Testament days from both parents' sides, from Abijah and Aaron. But Elizabeth and Zechariah were not powerful players in the whole priest movement. As a matter of fact, I've heard Zechariah described as a rustic priest. It was kind of like he was in the priest National Guard, that like 2 weeks out of the year he had to go to the temple and do his priestly duty, and he would take care of things. Then he'd go back and live his rustic life. So he wasn't a powerful player at all. And John, even though he had priestly lineage, wasn't a power player at all. Actually, people say that he was probably an Essene. The Essenes are the ones who made the Dead Sea Scrolls. They lived out in the wilderness. And the wilderness in the Bible is a big place, and it means more than just, you know, going to some caves and writing some stuff down. But scholars think that John probably was an Essene, an outsider who didn't get along with society. And when we name this stuff here at the beginning, it just shows John to be that outsider, because the time placement of John is important for some, but really it's what was going on. And look at all these important rulers, and John was in the wilderness, an outsider. He didn't know how things worked according to the powers that be of the day. And he came, outsider from the wilderness, preaching in a different way. Now the priests would come preaching, and they would say, obey the rules. You know, they would say good things, and obeying the rules is not a bad thing. But the priests had a certain style, and the priests had certain things that they said. And John came preaching from the wilderness. And it wasn't a way of power or fame that he was preaching. Sometimes preachers would preach because it would gain notoriety, or at least gain them fame. It wasn't a preaching style of just keep your nose clean and fit in, which is another thing that priests would preach about, not in so many words, but keep your nose clean and fit in. The way John preached was about getting ready for the one who would put everything back in order. It's revolutionary kind of talk. John preached about turning away from sin. He preached about humanity seeing God's salvation. His last line there, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Something that is completely missing from John's preaching is a call to arms. But sometimes we listen to John and we hear a call to arms. I wonder if we still hear that. Or I wonder if we still hear John's words, you know, with all of these rulers and saying that all the valley shall be filled, every mountain hill shall be made low, and we see them as a call to war instead of not a call to war. I wonder if we can focus on turning away from sin and turning toward God, because I think that's the crux of this passage today. This week, there were two really big news stories that made their way through CNN, Fox, MSNBC, all of the major networks. Do you know what they were? One was about a famous golfer. One was about a war. Can you guess which one I might talk about now? You don't have to, but do you think I'm going to talk about Tiger Woods? No, I'm not going to talk about Tiger Woods. I think that I'll talk about President Obama. This past week outlined a plan to send 30,000 additional troops into Afghanistan, right? He said that the new troops, and along with some more from NATO allies, would help with these three objectives. He said that it would deny al-Qaeda a safe haven, that it would reverse the Taliban's momentum and deny it the ability to overthrow Afghanistan's government, and it would strengthen Afghanistan's security forces and government. Those were the three points that he made. And I listened to the speech, and I have said on many times, many occasions, that I am opposed to war, pure and simple, but it's not so simple. See, I'm opposed even more than war. I'm opposed to things like vitriolic language when it comes to war. And this week, I do lament our service people and more from many other countries going to be deployed and face and be a part of violence in the name of peace, because violence in the name of peace just, I don't think it works. I also recognize, though, that things aren't as easy as there must be no violence. It's more complicated than that, or there must be more troops, or it's a mistake to have a timeline, or just send in more troops and we'll cut off your funding. Just try to do it and we'll cut off your funding. It's not that simple. See, catchphrases and knee-jerk reactions to difficult situations are what cause escalating and continuing trouble and violence. And difficult situations and difficult Bible passages need thought. They need discussion. They need prayer. They do. It was too easy when John and Jesus walked the earth to expect a violent and powerful king to come and take over, because that's what the people expected. There's language in it throughout the Old Testament. There's language about it in the New Testament. It's too easy to read this week's Bible reading and see violent and powerful soldiers coming in to fill every valley, to make every mountain and hill low, and to make every crooked path straight. You know, it's too easy to define everything that we see as good or bad, left or right, Christian or un-Christian. And it's far too easy to bend the Bible to our agenda. This week, the Bible sets up John as an outsider. It sets him up as one who was announcing that something big was coming. It set him up as the one who says, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And some might see it, but I don't think that John, the outsider, was calling for a violent reordering of things. I think he was announcing good news. Now, announcing good news is not the easiest thing to do, and just by calling it good news, that's revolutionary talk, because Caesar's the one who brought good news. The soldiers or the heralds would come out, and they would open up, or they would shout out, I have good news from the emperor, the good news of the emperor, no matter what the news was. John came preaching good news. Revolutionary talk, but it really was and really is good news. He was calling for all to see what was and what is coming. God's deliverance, God's safety, God's life-changing good news. As we prepare with this second candle of Advent, this candle of peace, as we prepare to celebrate the arrival of the Christ child, may we look forward to God's deliverance, God's safety. Most of all, let's look forward to God's life-changing good news. Let me read this morning's Bible reading once again, and let's reflect. Let's be a people who expect God's life-changing good news for all. As it says there, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In the 15th year of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler under the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Advent is here. Christmas is coming. And so let's prepare. Let's pray. God, you fill our hearts with hope. You fill our hearts with your peace. Help us to be the people who expect your life-changing good news. Help us to be your Advent people as we prepare to celebrate the coming of the Christ child. Amen.